worship this morning and tonight is great. Praise the Lord. Well, all right. Open your Bible. I'll share a few things with you tonight, and that I believe that the Lord's laid on my heart. This particular passage of Scripture, in this verse, of course, it's familiar. And you can open up to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, the fourth chapter, and just go to Matthew and turn left a couple of books, and you'll find Zechariah. It's right before Malachi, next to the last book in the Old Testament, the fourth chapter. And as I was saying, these verses, this particular verse and these verses are familiar to us, but for some weeks, a couple of weeks at least, this verse has just kind of been rolling around in my spirit. And it seemed like I would, every sermon I would listen to or somebody I would hear preach or whatever, they would bring this verse out. They would quote it. They would mention it, you know. And everywhere I'd turn, I was hearing this verse. And I've quoted it a lot myself. But I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of Zechariah chapter 4 and read down through verse 10, okay? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said to me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof." So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these things, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, and those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." I want to use tonight for my text and my subject that sixth verse where the angel of the Lord said to Zerubbabel, "This is," and notice, "this is the word of the Lord, saying, Not by might." And this word was to Zerubbabel, but God is speaking this word to us. "This is the word of the Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." That's what it's all about tonight. Amen. God has designed His born-again people so that we may be empowered for glory and for service. That's why He's made us. That's why we're here. The lampstand here in this passage for us today symbolizes the church as it will shine in splendor when it is filled with the Spirit of God. The church's glory will not be acquired by human might and power, but only by the Spirit of the Lord. This verses that we read here beautifully illustrates this spiritual principle, because the vision of the lampstand that was shown here by this angel, by the Lord to Zerubbabel, symbolizes the church. This golden candlestick, this lampstand, the menorah, if you will, we know symbolizes the church. Of course, under the Old Testament economy, it symbolized Israel. But today, it would be a symbol for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Revelation chapter 1, we see Jesus walking in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And Jesus gave the explanation to John on the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus said that the seven golden candlesticks that you saw are the seven churches. So we know that this is a representation. This lampstand, this candlestick represents and symbolizes the church. In this vision, Zerubbabel not only saw, or Zechariah not only saw the candlestick or the lampstand, but he also saw a great large bowl that was above that candlestick. And that bowl, on either side of it, were two olive trees. And if you'll read the entirety of this chapter, there were a couple of pipes that went from the olive trees to the bowl. And the bowl was filled with olive oil. And there were seven conduits or seven pipes that went from that bowl down to each one of the candlesticks or each one of the lamps, the seven lamps on that lampstand. And these conduits or these pipes fed that lampstand with oil to keep the lights burning continuously and constantly. Amen? That bowl that was there and those two olive trees in this vision show the continuous supply of oil which came totally apart from any human agency whatsoever and foreshadows the fullness of the Spirit's outpouring that came on the day of Pentecost. Under the Old Testament tabernacle, every day that menorah, the lampstand, had to be tended to by the priest. They would go in and fill that lamp with oil every day. But with this lampstand, there was no human agency used at all to supply the oil to that lamp, for it was coming directly from heaven through those conduits and filling that lamp with oil so the light would shine and the glory of the Lord would be revealed. The promise of this outpoured spiritual empowerment had a direct application in this passage to Zerubbabel, because he was attempting what seemed to be an impossible task of rebuilding the temple of God. And he and those that had come back from the Babylonian captivity were facing many enemies, and the enemies of God's plan to stop the plan of God to rebuild that temple were many and mighty. And these people of God were facing impossible and daunting circumstances. We find that in Ezra chapter 4. The numbers of God's people were few. The people of God were weak. They were feeble. And now the enemy has come against them to weaken their hands, Ezra said, and to frustrate their purpose. They did everything they could to stop the building of the temple of God. Anytime you take on an endeavor to do a work for God, I'm telling you, the enemy's going to raise up his old ugly head and try to stop it if you're really doing something for God. And that's exactly what happened here. The enemy had weakened the hands, had frustrated the purpose. Actually, they had even caused the king of Babylon to of Persia to send word for the work on that temple to be stopped and to be completely halted. And it was in the midst of this situation and these circumstances that God gave this vision to Zechariah to give to Zerubbabel. But in the midst of this, God, by His mighty supply of the Holy Spirit, would see this work of the temple through to its completion. That was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, that it's going to be completed and it's not going to be done by might or power or any human resources, but it will be accomplished by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The church today The church today must seek and find again the empowering of God. Hallelujah. We've got to have the empowering of God in the face of tremendous opposition of the powers of darkness and in the face of a dark and hostile world that we are up against today. Especially in these last days, the powers of darkness have been accelerated. Demon spirits are working harder and stronger and more powerful than they ever have, I believe, in the history. The Bible says that Satan himself in the last days has come down with great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. We're facing dark days as the church. We're facing a hostile world as a church. Church today, and I'm here to tell you, we must have, it's imperative that we have the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing in our church and in our lives. We've got to have the oil. Without the oil, the lamps go out. Without the oil, darkness prevails. Hallelujah, we need the oil. We've got to have the oil of the Holy Ghost in these last days. Amen. This word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, and it was a source of strength to the man of God, because it was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel saying, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Now, if you'll notice in that verse of Scripture, the word that came from God, and as I said at the beginning, this is a word of the Lord, and we need to understand that. This is a word from God and the word of God. And this word from God actually begins in the negative. It begins in the negative, and God begins here by saying, "not by." And by saying that, the negative emphasizes the total insufficiency. Now, are you listening to me? God's negative there emphasizes the total and complete insufficiency of human strength and resource. The first thing that we have got to understand when we do the work of God, we've got to know, first of all, what won't work. See, that's the problem the church world's having today. They don't know what won't work. I'm not talking about putting people in seats. Talking about having a Pentecostal church. Talking about having a full gospel, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled church. Can somebody say amen? We've got to understand what won't work. And I believe that's where the modern-day church is missing it. Missing it so much is what in that particular area. We've got to find out and we've got to know what will not accomplish the will of God. So when we first know the negative and we first know what will not do the will of God and what will not be effective and what will not work, then we will know what will work. So the first thing that the Lord says, the word of the Lord says here, that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by how not to do it, that's what that means. But by indicates how the work of God then is to be accomplished and how God's purpose is to be fulfilled within the body of Christ and within the church. See, God's work, listen to me, church, God's work is not, and we're talking about God's work. We're not talking about natural means here. We're talking about the church is a supernatural entity. The church, amen, I know it's run in many ways like a business, but the church is a supernatural entity. God's work, and God's work is not accomplished by might or power. Somebody says, well, what does that mean? And the word might there, when he used the word might, he's referring to human resources. And that could include a lot of different things. Human resources and our might consists of our wealth. It consists of physical strength. It consists of force, ability, or efficiency. And often this word might is translated army. It's used for an army. So it shows the might and the power of numbers. Are you hearing me? The might and the power of numbers. The might and the power of wealth. The might and the power of force or ability. And you know what God said? That's not what works. Power, he said, it's not by power, and that refers to strength and determination, the ability to persist. It's a resoluteness, a resolve, or a consistency. And we need those things. We need a resolve. We sang the song tonight, I will not, would not be denied. We need a resolve and a persistence, yes. But these two things that the prophet listed here, these two things together represent the full extent of human resources which could be deployed to deal with the task or to deal with the situation. Yet all, listen to me, all that man can do in and of himself is unable to accomplish the task that God has given to the church. It's not by our might or our power. It's got to be something else. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a greater agency that we as a church must secure if we're to have true success, if we're to have victory. And that true success and victory can only be achieved, listen to me, by the Spirit of God. No other way. It takes the supernatural divine factor to accomplish God's work. Are you with me? I want to say that again. It takes the supernatural. It takes a divine factor to accomplish anything for Almighty God and for the work of the Lord. God's Spirit is the only absolutely necessary resource that we need and that we must depend on as a church. It's God putting His... Now, He uses what we have. He uses instrumentalities. But the problem comes when we as believers or as a church begin to depend upon ourself or our own natural abilities or our own natural strength, and we think that we've got this, we've figured it out, we've learned enough that we know how. And there's preachers that's attained that level. They know how to build a crowd. They know how within their own natural ability to grow a church or to bring people into a church. Well, I'm telling you what, that's what God said not to do. Is there anything wrong with knowing some things? Nothing wrong with that at all. But I'm telling you, what happens is we get to leaning too much on our own knowledge and our own ability and our own wittiness and our own self, and we forget about the fact that we're not going to have a church if it's not for the Holy Ghost. We're not going to have a church if it's not for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's puts His... What is the supernatural? I believe that's when God puts His super on our natural. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm about to have a spell. I thought I was tired a while ago. That's a false symptom. Amen? The power that you and I need. And I'm talking to us as a church tonight, but I'm also talking to us as individuals. But the power that we need in our life for spiritual victory is from God and of God and not from man. Amen? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 that though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Now listen, there are three ways There are three ways that we can attempt to do the work of the Lord as a body of believers. And three ways on we can do the work of the Lord. And the first one is we can trust in our own strength and our own wisdom. The second one is we can use the same resources that the world uses and do it the way the world's doing it, with marketing techniques that come from worldly men, exactly. Amen? And that, those are two areas I think that a lot of churches are using today to build their church and to, you know, that's what the mega churches, for the most part, the majority of them are using. And the third way to do the work of God is, number three, is depend on the power of God. Just, you know, it's that simple. How you know, I mean, this is a very simple multiple choice question, and most of the church is getting this one wrong. Most of the church is missing this. It's, you know, how do we do the work of God? A, do we trust in our own strength and wisdom? B, do we use the resources of the world? Or C, do we depend on the power of God? And the majority of the church world's flunking that quiz tonight, because the answer is we depend on the power of God Almighty, on the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what we do. The Holy Spirit is the oil which flows through the lampstand. And the lampstand, as I said, is the church. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That means that the strength and the power of the church, or the strength and the power of the individual believer, is found solely, only in the Holy Spirit. No other way, no other answer. I'm pretty dogmatic about this. That is why that we must have a Holy Ghost church. That's why we have to have a Holy Ghost church, because there is no other way. That's why we welcome the Holy Spirit in every service, because there's nothing that will accomplish or that we can accomplish without Him. Because without Him, without the Holy Spirit, just think about it tonight, without the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit, no one will be saved. No one will, oh yeah, you may fill up a building without the Holy Spirit by using some of these other means and methods, but how many are truly getting saved? Listen, the born again experience is a work of the Holy Ghost on the inside of an individual. No man will even come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws them. There has to be a conviction. There has to be a drawing by the Holy Spirit. Then there has to be a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of that individual to change their life. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit working in the church, there's not going to be anybody. Very few, somebody might get saved by accident, but my Lord, it's the work of the Holy Ghost. People won't be saved. People won't be healed. People won't be delivered from addictions and bondages, will not be broken, because those things only happen by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. When's the church going to wake up and realize that the power of the church is not in the numbers that it has? Amen. I mean, God can use a Gideon's army of 300 to defeat the enemy a whole lot better than He can an army of 32,000 that were not sold out and totally consecrated to the Lord God Almighty. Are you listening to me? David, you know, stood against Goliath. He stood against Goliath when the whole church was hiding from that rascal. Saul and the whole church was hiding from Goliath. You know why they were hiding from the enemy? You know why they were quivering in fear and defeat? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Spirit of God. And that big old giant would march out there every day and make his boast, and they'd run and hide, and Saul, their leader, didn't know what to do. But praise God, it was one day a little shepherd boy came toting some cheese to his brothers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And when he heard, when David heard that boast of that giant, he said, praise God, I'll go out there and I'll fight against him. There was something different about David. All the church was hiding, but here was one little boy that had the oil of the Holy Ghost poured on top of his head. He had the anointing of God. Woo! Hallelujah. David said to that big old ugly giant, old Goliath made fun of him, and David said, ha, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of Israel, the God that you have defied. I come to you in His name. That's the difference in somebody that does have and does not have the Holy Ghost anointing. Listen, I believe the Holy Ghost and the anointing makes a difference. Can you say amen? Jesus is our example. Jesus Himself, Jesus was born, His birth was supernatural. Is that right? His birth was supernatural. He was born of a virgin, but He was born of the Spirit of God. When He was 30 years old, He was baptized of John in the Jordan, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost came in the form of a dove and came upon Him, and Jesus was baptized in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost filled Him and anointed Him that day. So Jesus was born of the Spirit. Jesus was baptized of the Spirit. And then the Bible said immediately after He was baptized with the Spirit, that He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And then after He came out of the wilderness, it said that He came in the power of the Spirit, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing the sick and delivering the oppressed. Hallelujah! I'm telling you what, we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! There's no other way. There's no other way. The power of any church is in the Holy Spirit. And without Him, we have nothing. I love what Micah, the prophet Micah, said in Micah 3 and 8. Micah said, but truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. How many of us can say that tonight? Amen? These very words, not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. Those very words spoken here to Zerubbabel through the prophet brought empowering to this handful of discouraged people that were facing defeat and were surrounded by the enemy. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight, Abundant Life Family Church, those three words, by My Spirit, they need to be our motto of this church, to guide all of our endeavors, to guide all of our enterprises, to guide everything that we do. We are born of the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. And praise God, we've got to be led by the Spirit and proclaim this book, this gospel, in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah! There's people here in this area
in this community that's needing something from God. God has put it in my heart. Put it in your heart. He's spoken through His servants in these services to let us know He set us here in this place. He set this church on this hill to be a light and a beacon to this community and to express the very glory of Almighty God. And the only way we can do it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the opposition that would come against us as a church is absolutely, totally futile if we are walking in and living in the Holy Ghost, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties or there won't be troubles, but that does mean that there's victory in the midst of those. Verse number 7 there, after the Lord gives this word to Zerubbabel of what? Zerubbabel, boy, that gets you talking in tongues, talking about Him. Hallelujah. Maybe that's what we need to do. We have people sick in the Holy Ghost. Tell them to say Zerubbabel 10 times. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came and telling him what would not work. Power, might, human resources does not work. Then He tells him what will work. My Spirit, my power, my anointing. That's what will do the work. And then He says in verse 7, the Lord speaking, and as I told you, they're facing these difficulties, but God says then, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall crumble and become a plain. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. I like the NLT, the New Living, says this, says it this way. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. See, this great mountain represented and were the difficulties that lifted themselves against Zerubbabel's mission. The work of the temple had been stopped. And I believe in my study this week, I read a couple of commentaries. I believe for about 16 years, the work of God was halted by the enemy. And this is when God appeared now and gave him this vision and told him that anointing's coming, that power's coming. Hallelujah. That oil is flowing from that great pot of oil. Those heavenly olive trees, that oil's flowing to that lampstand. And so this represents the fact that temple work being stopped, that was the mountain that was standing in the way. And I'm going to tell you something, in every age, it doesn't matter. You can read it from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through, from Genesis to Revelation. In every age, all through history, God's people have encountered difficulty. And that's not going to stop in these last days. We're going to have difficulties in these last days. See, Satan is a hinderer. I'm not giving him any credit or glory. I'm working on some stuff to preach here in a while on some things, several things, probably a top 10 list of 10 things that Satan cannot do. There are some things that Satan does do. There are some things that Satan can do. One thing is, he's our adversary. He is a hinderer. Paul even said that he intended to go to Thessalonica on several occasions. But he said, but Satan hindered us. Satan will hinder in every way he can. He is the adversary. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will do everything he can to put obstacles in our way that seem to bar every advance of our forward progress. Just about the time you think that you're progressing and doing good in God, Satan comes along and puts a mountain in your way, puts a blockade in your way, puts a stop in your way. Isn't that right? But I'm telling you what. There is. It don't matter what kind of mountain you're facing tonight. There is an unseen hand. There is a power of the Holy Ghost that will crush and flatten out and level out every mountain that's in your way and hinders your progress in God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know, church, every opposing power against us will vanish, will be crushed, will be brought down when God's people trust in Him and when they become filled with the power of His Spirit. All of those obstacles before Zerubbabel were like a mountain, yet God's word to him was that they would become as nothing. When God's Spirit is the agency and the power that works in him and through him. That's all God was telling him to do. Zerubbabel, you're this menorah. You and your people, that was the church of that day. This is you, this golden lampstand. And here's what's going to cause you, Zerubbabel, and your people to overcome. Here's what's going to cause that mountain to fall down at your feet is because you see those pipes running from that bowl, running into every lamp on that lampstand. You see those seven pipes? That represents a constant flow, an unending flow, an abundant flow of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Zerubbabel, that is where your victory is going to come from. The power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every mountain that confronts us in our life is one with which God will deal with. If we'll believe Him. Oh, there's always a catch, isn't there? Yeah. People of faith will find that every mountain will either be made a plain, flattened out, or cast into the sea. Amen? Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, verse 4 and 5. Every valley shall be exalted. Are you in a valley tonight? Every valley will be exalted. I don't see how you'd be in a valley if you was here this morning. Every valley... Every valley shall be exalted. And every, listen, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight. And I like this one. And the rough places will be made smooth. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Isn't that what the Lord says? Amen. He said the mountains and the hills be brought low. The valleys be brought high. What's that mean? That means there's open space. There's nothing there to hinder the forward progress of the church and of God's people. Jesus said it this way. In Matthew 21, 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily, I say unto you, if you have faith, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou removed, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done and shall." Don't need maybe. Can somebody shout amen tonight? God, your God tonight is in the mountain moving business. Can somebody say amen? All that the world powers devise, all that they can raise up against the people of God will dissipate when God's people trust in and are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oppressions of your mind and your soul will vanish as completely as that towering mountain had been leveled as a plain when you trust in God and you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's not a devil or a demon that can stand in the way of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing is what destroys the yoke. The anointing is what removes the burden. Amen? God's the one that makes the way where there is no way. When you can see no way out, He will come through those three words, by my Spirit. Hallelujah. And move those mountains out of your way. You got any tonight? Any mountains? Any problems? Any difficulties? Oh, hallelujah. In the power of the name of Jesus, the authority of the name of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, look at that mountain and look at it and tell it, you mountain, you've stood there long enough. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost, I command you to go. I command you to move. And Jesus said, it shall be done. Somebody said, well, what if I said that and it didn't leave? Don't quit. Say it again. Keep talking to it. Tell it, you've got to go. I would not be denied. You've got to leave. I command it so. Jesus said you had to go. In the name of the Lord, I command you. Go, leave, flatten out, move. The power of the Holy Spirit is against you, old mountain. Hallelujah. 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 Who art thou, great mountain? You shall become a plain. Hallelujah. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings. I think we proved this morning we believe in that. The shouting is about to come. The shouting is coming. You may be facing the mountain tonight, but the shouting is coming. He shall bring forth the headstone with shouting. It's crying, grace, grace to it. You know what grace is? Grace, I know we use the definition, grace is God's unmerited favor, and that's true. But grace really is more than that. Because grace is the favor of God. But grace is the goodness of God, and grace is the blessing of God. There is enabling grace, which is the ability of God. It's through grace that we are saved, but it's through grace, the grace of God, that is a constant flow of grace in our life that gives us the ability to live for God. You live for God by grace. You don't live for God and stay holy and live holy just by clenching your fists and gritting your teeth and saying, I'm going to do it. No. Hallelujah. If you're doing it that way, you're doing it the hard way and you'll fail every time. It's the grace of God that's working in us. The power of the Holy Spirit who gives that grace. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that imparts that grace to us. And God tells them that this work that they have begun, that has been hindered for some 16 years, this work shall be finished. He said, you're going to come and you're going to lay that headstone. They couldn't see this. They couldn't see this in the natural. It looked like an impossibility. But here God's telling them what's going to take place in the future because of the empowering of His Spirit. He said, you're going to come forth with that headstone, Michelle. In other words, there's coming a day, Zerubbabel, where you will see this temple completed and you're going to lay that headstone, that cornerstone, that capstone. You're going to put the finishing touches on it. And when you do, you're going to do it with shouting. And when you do, you're going to do it crying, grace! It was by grace! It was by God's grace! It was by God's Spirit! It was by God's power that we were enabled to do this. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. God's blessing and grace is coming. His favor and blessing is upon them. The working of the Spirit defeated their adversaries. The adversary has frustrated their purpose. But now the dependence upon the working of the Spirit is moving to defeat their adversaries. And that great mountain, which was referred to there, was actually King Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, who had sent the command, had sent the decree for all the work on that temple to be stopped. And I'm telling you what, it wasn't long after God gave this word to Zerubbabel that that mountain's going to become a plain. Darius was moved out of the way. Oh, do you know that God can move political leaders out of the way? Hallelujah. Don't get me started, but He moved that mountain. That mountain was stopping the building of God's temple. And God moved it. Our president better watch how he fools around with God's people. Number one, with Israel. Number two, with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I'll set them up. God says, I can take them out. Yeah. Hallelujah. But it was just shortly after that, Darius was removed from his place as king, and Cyrus, I believe it was, if my memory serves correct, took his place. I'll have to check my facts on this, but I think I'm right. I'll have to check and make sure. I've read so many. You ever read so much stuff it just kind of starts running together? But Cyrus, I believe, was none other than the son of a woman by the name of Esther. Y'all know that story, don't you? How that all happened. Well, I don't have time to preach that one tonight, so go home and read the book of Esther. But it was through the decree of Cyrus that he turned that thing around, like we sang about this morning. And he lifted the ban. And he ordered protection for Zerubbabel and for all of the Jews that were rebuilding the temple. And he commanded everybody to leave them alone. And he even sent them some finance to help them out. Are you see what I'm talking about? The mountain got removed. See, when you're trusting in the Spirit of God, when you're flowing in the Spirit of God, when the power of the Holy Ghost is working in your life, amen, anything can happen. God can cause things and will cause things to work around and turn around for your good and for your blessing in your life. He'll pull down mountains and raise up victory in your life, and it's all by the Spirit of God. Amen. I've got to close here. I've preached too long already. The hands of Zerubbabel, he said in verse 9, have laid the foundation of this house. And here was the promise of God that this was going to be completed. The mountain was going to be moved, and it was going to be completed. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation of this house, and his hand also shall finish it. Listen to me. Listen to me. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is our heavenly Zerubbabel. Jesus is the one who has laid the foundation of this house. He's laid the foundation of His church. He is my Lord Jesus Christ, is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning, and He is the end, and the first and the last. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who is the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation on which everything rests. His mighty hand has laid this foundation, and His mighty hand will finish it. When He starts a work, He completes a work. He's marked us for victory. He's marked us for success. He's planned our future to be victorious and an overcomer. And He who has begun a good work in us shall come. completed until the day of His coming again. Can somebody give Jesus a praise? Hallelujah. It's upon Him that He has built the church. So don't ever be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel and quit. It seems like that the Lord sometimes maybe is not doing much, or that maybe you're in your walk with God not accomplishing much. May not be making the progress you feel that you should, but I can tell you this. The eyes of the Lord are on you. And the God of heaven is saying to you, get ready. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Make that a priority. Keep your faith anchored in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and keep the doors open and the windows of heaven open to let the Holy Spirit move, let the Holy Spirit flow, and the eyes of the Lord are upon you. I've started this work, I've planted this work, the Lord says, and get ready, because I am going to bless you. Victory is yours. You're going to experience. There's never going to be a church that leaves itself open for the flowing of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, and that preaches the cross, and that preaches the blood, and that lifts up Jesus Christ. That church is always going to go forward. It's going places. Can you say amen? The devil may write its epitaph several times throughout its history, but my God, that church will always rise back up again and shout the victory and lay the headstone of victory and completion. Because it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Closing. Is this my first or second closing? Third. Okay. The secret of the church lies in the power of that constant flow of the Holy Spirit. The constant flow of the oil of the Holy Ghost. There are so many substitutes today for the power of God's mighty Spirit in the church. It saddens me to think about our Pentecostal organizations that have sold out the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They're trusting in money, they're trusting in education, they're trusting in organization, they're trusting in numbers, but none of these things can take the place of the Holy Spirit. None of them. None of these things. None of them can convict of sin. None of these other things can quicken dead souls and bring them back to a newness of life. None of these other things can be a comforter to troubled hearts and troubled spirits. None of these other things can make intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered to pray the perfect will of God. None of these other things can breathe the breath of life over a valley of dry bones and bring them back to life again. But all the power of the Holy Spirit can, and He is the only one who can. We must have the Holy Ghost. We must have. The secret of our power as a church is the operation of the Holy Spirit in our church services. That's why I said this morning, the Holy Ghost preached my sermon this morning. He demonstrated. And sitting in my office before church tonight, just looking back over my notes a little bit, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and just let me know He wanted this message preached after the fact of a moving of the Holy Spirit. Because we know, like the old African-American preacher one time, somebody asked him, what is the unction? What is the unction? And that African-American preacher said, I don't know what it is, but I sure know what it ain't, and it sure is miserable without it. Amen? I've been on that side of the fence. I've been in dead, dry, cold, refrigerator, polar bear behind the pulpit churches. I've been in those old ice boxes. I've been in those churches that were as dead and dry as last year's corn shucks. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God, I know what that is. That's a miserable existence. Oh, praise God. We've got to have the moving. What we had this morning, what God did this morning, that's got to be a natural, a normal, a regular occurrence at Abundant Life Family Church. Hallelujah! People being saved and delivered and filled with the Spirit and bodies healed and things accomplished for God. The Holy Ghost is the only one can do that. The only one can do that. Hallelujah. That's true for the church. Musicians, come ahead. Make your way back. It's true for the church. And it's true for us individually. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not before. When Jesus commissioned, there was above 500 that were there to see the ascension. And the last words that Jesus gave to them before he ascended was, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to all the uttermost parts of the world. It's not by might. It's not by power. Not by human resources of any kind whatsoever. But it's by my Spirit. I was sitting there studying this the other day, had my legal pad out, just making some notes and doodling. I doodle on my notes. And I was sitting there meditating on that and looking at that scripture, and I just drew a picture of a menorah. Then I read the scripture and I said, right above it, a big bowl. So I just drew me a big bowl above it. And then on each side of that bowl, I drew, I'm not a real good artist, but I and the Lord knows what it was. I drew two olive trees with a pipe going from the olive trees to the bowl. And then I started drawing with my pencil just a conduit from that bowl, seven of them, to each branch of that candlestick. Just kindly visualize it. Oil flowing from the tree, filling the bowl, and the bowl filling the candlestick, the lampstand. A constant flow, and one that never, ever dries up. As long as we, with our faith and our desire, keep the spigot open, the oil will keep flowing. You remember when the woman, the widow that was about to lose her kids, and she had the one little pot of oil, and Elisha said, get all the vessels you can and start pouring into them. And she was pouring that little pot of oil and filling one vessel after another. And she said, bring me another vessel. And he told her, get a lot of them. Don't get just a few. Get as many as you can. And she said, bring me another vessel. And her son said, there aren't any more. And as soon as there was not another empty vessel, the oil stopped. So as long as we'll present to him ourselves, Lord, I am empty. Here I am. I am a vessel. Lord, make me that vessel of honor tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just an old earthen vessel, Lord. But you said this treasure, your treasure, is in earthen vessels. Oh, let the oil flow in me tonight. Fill me, Lord. with your spirit. Keep my lamp burning. Keep Abundant Life Family Church glowing to light up this darkened world. We can make a difference. A church with the Holy Ghost will make a difference in their community. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.